And needless to say, but I'm going to say it anyways, I'm an eighth grader going into ninth grade. And if I'm a little awkward, I have a valid excuse for that. I'm homeschooled. So if you find me a little awkward, I have a reason. So my apologies beforehand. So I grew up in a Christian home, and pretty much, you know, unless you were sick or dying, you went to church. That's a joke. You can laugh. So thank you. I feel loved. So I accepted Christ when I was 4 years old, and everything was just kind of good after that, you know. I didn't really get close to him until I started going to Prime in sixth grade, and that's when I started getting really connected with him and really close to him. And everything was kind of going good until last year, last August, when school started. I had clinical anxiety and depression, and I had a lot of stress with schoolwork, and I didn't know how to handle it. I would have panic attacks at school, and I would just have little emotional breakdowns over literally every little thing. And I just didn't know what to do with it, and I didn't tell anybody because I was scared of what they would think. I didn't know if they would understand. So I just kept going, and in February, it was the worst it has ever been. I was really depressed, and on top of that, I had all the stresses of school, and I just couldn't take it, and I really didn't know what to do anymore. So I finally broke down and decided to tell my mom. I'm really stubborn, so that took a lot. But I told my mom, and I ended up getting counseling in March, and that was one of the best things that's ever happened to me. So I was starting to get things under control, but when school ended, I just got really, really depressed. The anxiety subsided, but I was just so depressed, and I'm like, well, great. School's over, but I still have all these problems. What do I do now? I'm already getting counseling. I didn't know what else to do at all. So it was just a living nightmare, really. The month of May was just really hard for me. And then this year, for the third time, I was able to go to the Forward Conference with my friend Melissa, and it was just really powerful on the last night. The speaker, Reggie Dabbs, he's amazing. He was talking about how God can set you free from things, and there's nothing that he can't do. So he said what he was going to do is he going to list several issues, and when you heard the issue that you struggle with, you were supposed to stand up. And the third issue he named was depression and suicide. And so I stood up, and he started praying, and I just started crying. It was just really powerful and freeing, because in that moment I realized I was never really alone. Because when you have a relationship with God, you're never alone. He is absolutely always there for you. And that just kind of clicked. I was like, oh, I've never actually been alone, because God's always been there. And he is the most powerful thing you can have on your side. And I mean, hard stuff in life, it's inevitable, but it's not impossible, because God's with you, and through him, absolutely everything is possible. One of my favorite verses is Philippians 4:13. And it was always been my favorite verse, but I was just kind of like, oh, yeah. And it says, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. And that never really, I was just like, oh, yay, I can do everything. But it didn't really matter to me until this past year, when I realized that's true. It's absolutely true. It's not just a verse. It's not just words. It's powerful, and it's true. You can do everything with God. And it's going to be hard, and it's really inevitable. You're not going to avoid the hard stuff in life. I always thought, you know, I had heard about people with depression and anxiety, and I thought, well, I'll never have problems with that because I'm in a good Christian home. I'll never have issues. But, I mean, obviously I was wrong. But, you know, I can get through it because God's on my side, and that's really the most wonderful thing in the world. And I know I have hope. Like, I didn't have hope before, and now I know I can get through it, and I can keep going, and I can share with other people that they can keep going too, and that nothing's impossible because God makes everything possible. And that's what I've learned. So, yeah. Thank you. All right. And next, my friend Ansley's going to come up and share her testimony. So give it up for her.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Well, how are we doing tonight, first of all? We doing good? Yeah, that's what I like to hear. Well, like Emma said, I'm Ansley. I'm going into ninth grade, obviously, at Mountain View, and I am also trying out for volleyball like Amanda. So I have a lot of things in common with my peers. And I just wanted to take some time to tell you my testimony and give all of you rising seventh and rising eighth graders some advice. Any middle schooler, obviously. My journey with Christ has been short. I really didn't grow up in a Christian home. My dad sort of introduced me to Christ, but it wasn't really relevant. And then when I became nine, I got baptized. And then after I got baptized, you know, I knew who God was and I recognized him, but I didn't have that personal relationship. So then I went to NTS camp in 2013, and I also went this last year, and yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, cheer on, because that was awesome. And I accepted Christ, and it was an amazing feeling. And now me and Christ are closer than ever. I'm thinking about him right now I just think about him 24/7. I'm thinking about him right now as I'm saying this to you guys. But I've just been a happier person. I've been more myself. I feel I didn't have a part of me. I like to have that shoulder, that rock, you know, that bass, like that song. So what's that song that's like the rock? The rock won't move. There we go. That one. That one. And this is advice I give any rising seventh grader or eighth grader, or if I was in sixth grade, what I give to myself. First of all,
Don't
do this to me, brain. Enjoy middle school. There it is. Enjoy middle school. Don't just let it pass by and be like, I have to go to school today. It's Monday. I don't like Mondays. Ugh. Be happy about it. And I know it's like Ansley, it's school. No one likes school. There's annoying teachers, annoying people. I know that. I've been through school. I know that. But, you know, just try to find a good balance of happiness and God and all that stuff. And schoolwork, of course. Don't just slack off. That's bad. Bad, bad. I love laughing at myself. Does anybody else like laughing at themselves? Yeah, I mean, that's the best thing in the world, laughing at yourself. Now I'm going to talk about don't let people set a bar for you. Now, obviously, I have a birthmark, and I have special needs, believe it or not. I am a special ed student. If you guys don't know what a special ed student is, I really don't like the word. I think it's rubbish. But it means that you need special things to succeed in life. But I've always had bars set for me, and people are like, you can't go past this bar. You can't. You're just not able. And so when I was born, people told me, well, not people, their doctors told my parents that I wouldn't walk, proof one, that I can't talk, proof two, and that I couldn't, like, get my driver's license or go to college or be a normal person, whatever normal means. I don't know what they were referring to, whatever, and that I'd have, like, a couple of seizures a day. And if you guys don't know what a seizure is, it's like where there's a mental illness in your brain where it's like you just spaz out. Some people pass out. Some people shake like they got electrocuted. Some people just, you know, I mean, I'm a mixture of both. Like half of my body will stand still and half of my body will go. So, yeah. And God blessed me so much by taking that away, and I've been seizure free for actually 11 years. So thank you guys. I appreciate that. Aw, feeling the love. All because of the grace of God, I'm blessed. And don't let people set a bar for you, because you can pass it with God every single time. So that's another advice. My last piece of advice, so you guys don't have to hear my loud mouth all the time, is don't let people tell you who you are. Let God tell you who you are. So, like, if there's an Instagram post that says, oh, wearing pink all the time with guys is cool, it's really cool, you're going to see people do that. And it's like, why conform to what the world thinks when the Holy Spirit and God is so much better, and his judgment means and is more than theirs. So why listen to that? Why listen? And it's like, and I know you're like, Ansley, I'm human. I'm going to do that because I want people to accept me. It's like, yeah, I understand that. You know, I went through bullying. I also did that in middle school where I tried to, you know, wear the cutest clothes from, like, I don't know, wherever cute clothes come from. I always tried to be that. And then I realized, hey, the only judgment that really matters is God. And just stay yourself and be with God. It doesn't matter how many likes you have on Instagram. If you have the latest iPhone Z or C, I don't know what that is. I got an iPhone 4, okay? I'm down a generation. yeah, just do that for me, guys. And stay with God because he'll always be with you, like Emma said. He'll always be your rock. And even if you're like, God, where are you? He's like, I'm right here. I'm right here. So, yeah. And he'll help you find your way, even though I know it's kind of hard because you don't know exactly who you are. But if you guys have any questions for me about, you know, my birthmark or my condition or anything, I'll be happy to answer them after the service or anything like that. Just thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it. And now we're going, like I talked about NTS Camp, we're going to show a highlight video of NTS Camp. Roll the film!
All right. How we doing, guys? Man, that's a warm welcome. How's everybody doing? That's cool. Well, hey, I just want to say I am blown away right now. I mean, you guys have done such an amazing job. Amanda and Megan and Ansley and Emma and Melissa and Sam and everybody else that you got. Give it up for our eighth grade class. Isn't that awesome? Man. You guys have really blessed me tonight just listening to your story and just trusting us with some really intense information, you know, and things about your life is just really, really cool. And I just want to, I appreciate you guys for being so honest. Ansley, are you okay? You were just so excited that you just forgot there wasn't a step right there. The steps are on this side. I do that. I've done that too, though. I want you to know we have that in common. I totally face planted one time. At least you landed on your back, right? I face planted. So anyway, I'm glad you're okay. I'm glad you're okay. That's cool. Well, cool. Well, guys, what we thought we would do, obviously, tonight's very different, right? Tonight is our eighth grade takeover, and so we wanted to give a chance for some of our eighth grade class to come up and run some fun games with some terrible-tasting hot dogs, obviously. I don't know how you mess up a hot dog, but evidently we did. So, we thought we would have a good time tonight, just have some fun games but also allow you to hear some of the stories, right, from some of our eighth grade students. Because Amanda says, some of you just came for the first time your eighth grade year, and you've been with us a year. Some of you have been with us for 3 years. And obviously, you know, one of the hardest parts of my job, if I can be honest, is watching you guys leave the ministry. It's so hard. It's so difficult because you get so close to these students and then you have to say goodbye, right? And that's a difficult thing. And obviously you guys have heard from them firsthand, right? Some of the things that God has done in their lives while they were literally in this room. Three of them on the front row, I'm looking at them, were baptized at M12. A lot of you were baptized here. A lot of you maybe even made the decision to follow Christ while you were in middle school. And now all of you that are in eighth grade, you get to move on to high school, right? And that's an amazing thing. It's an exciting thing. Most of you, if you're not lying to yourself, you're probably ready to move to high school. You probably are ready to be with 9th through 12th grade. And that's the way God designed you, right? That's the way that it works. But here's what I want to do for the rest of our time. We had two really cool events that happened this summer. We, of course, that you've heard all about it, NTS Camp, which was last week. Yeah. NTS Camp. And it was such a good week. We had a great time and God did a lot of things. And one of the things that, or the main theme, right, of the camp is this idea of obsession. And how many of us, we can allow all kinds of obsessions to drive us. It could be friends, it could be clothing, it could be looking really good, it could be different things, media, right, to obsess us, right? And the whole point of the camp was that we would get to a place in our lives, right, as Christ followers, where we are obsessed with Jesus, where we are obsessed with him, and he drives our lives and he rules our lives. And so what I wanted to do is give any of you, now this is 8th grade, 7th grade, 6th grade, whoever you are, if you went to NDS camp and you would like to come up and just kind of share maybe something you learned, it can be funny, it can be serious, it can be about team competitions, it can be about something God taught you, it can be about a decision that you made. We just wanted to open the floor for a few minutes, because here's what we want to do. A lot of you didn't get to go to NTS camp, and to be honest, you really missed out, just to be completely honest. It was an incredible week, and so our goal was to try to bring NTS camp to us, right? And so, but I need your help. Those of you that went, I need your help to kind of tell some of the students here some of the things that you experienced. So would anybody like to come up and be the first person to share something? Come on up, Simone. Come on up, Simone. All right. This is Simone. Give it up for Simone.
Yeah, we have some, just tell them we have pictures that'll scroll through from the camp.
All right. So mainly what camp was about, like what Pastor Steven said, was obsessions. And I realized that my obsession wasn't exactly doing something over and over again. It was my obsession with not wanting to deal with people. And and I realized that your obsession has to be the Lord. And I understand that it's really hard to be dedicated, to pray in the morning, in the evening, and just be constantly dedicated, thinking about God 24/7. We've got plenty of other things in our life to worry about. But really, the truth is, you have to let God do the worrying for you. And praying in the morning, first thing when you get up, and praying in the evening is just the equivalent of feeling God's presence at NTS camp during the morning sessions and the evening sessions. Just because we don't have 1 or 2 hours worth of preaching every single day doesn't mean that the Lord's Spirit has to leave us, because we can bring him with us, and we can bring him with us to other people and to church and maybe people who don't even know the Lord himself. So even though you don't have camp, you can still learn about God on your own and pray to him that you will understand the Bible if you're just beginning to read it. Or maybe you've accepted Christ before and you're trying to rededicate yourself, you have to pray. And praying is the key to God's door. That's the best thing you can do. And that's about it.
Thank you, Simone. Thank you, Simone. Come on up, man. Maybe if it'll help you guys, you don't have to come on stage. Do you want to come on stage, or would you rather? Okay, let's just do it right here. There we go. This is Truett, and he actually was not on. He was not on the red team.
I was on the green team. Yeah. Even though we got last, I got last year with Central. I was on the blue team, and we got last also. But still, being on the green team was like actually really fun, because we were the smallest team. And we became most like family. Like, everybody knew each other on that team. It was a lot of fun. And, like, we would go up in our little team time groups, and we would, like, do, what are they called? Testimonies and, like, stories and confessions. And, like, that was my favorite part of NTS, because our team, I don't think we had more than 2 minutes of, we called the share square. Like, there was always somebody up there. Like, never nobody up there for a long time. And that changed my life. And that was definitely the best part. And all my friends, I learned a lot more about them. And, yeah, that's all I really wanted to share. So.
Good job.
Come on up. This is Amy.
All right, so at camp they had, like, no, before the morning session, they had these chat rooms that you could go to, and you go to a different one every day, and it was for an hour. And so I went to this one. It was Change is Possible, and it was all about, like, labels. And at first we got to, like, share, like, labels we've been called or, you know, just basically what society has been labeling us. And then the person, he was talking about how, like, labels can't, like, you don't want them to define you, and you need to be able to define yourself. And almost everyone was in tears by the end of that. And then it was really cool, because at the end, we all got to write our labels on a piece of paper, and then we got to tear up the piece of paper and throw it away.
Yeah. Thanks, Amy. That's awesome. Come on up. You guys don't have to wait. You can come up as a group and go one by one. That'd be awesome. Come on up. Come on up. All right. Cool. Here you go. Hey.
Hello, everybody. My name's Cassie.
Hi.
Is this everybody we're missing? Olivia, come on. Stop being ashamed. We're a small group, and we also shared the Share Square because we're stronger together than we are separate. And for me as a leader, I went to NTS last year as a student, and it was amazing. I loved it. Go NTS camp. And this year I went as a leader, and I just passed down, like, a lot of things that my leaders did for me to these girls. And wow, whew, God, like, multiplies his fruit just, like, so much. And, like, without these girls, like, I thought a leader, like, I was going to change their lives, but really they changed mine. And whew, we just made some strong bonds in that small group. Whew. And, yeah, let's all share about our group.
So I think it was Thursday night, all our small group, we got together, and we prayed all together, and we all shared in a circle, and we said, what is our deepest sin? What is bringing you down and not letting you worship Christ the way you want to? And so what we did is we, like, prayed over each other. And we just found out that we all kind of understand each other, and we all kind of have we're all feeling the same way about each other. And we just found out we're kind of alike, and we can get through this all together.
Well, my favorite part of NTS was obviously the small groups, because I was able to connect with them, and I was able to tell them things that I couldn't tell anybody else. And one night we were all crying, and it was a mess, and yeah, I was just able to tell them, like, everything, so it was great.
Where'd Steven go?
Thanks, guys. Give it up for our awesome girls. Woohoo! Yeah. Okay, anybody else like to share? Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Yeah, you can still share. If you've already shared, you can share again, Megan. It's okay.
Well, my name's Megan. I went last year, and I went this year as well. This year was kind of the same as last year, where I didn't really know as many people. And then Emily was in my small group, and we were in a group of 10. I think there were 10 girls in our group. And we obviously started we had a strong relationship with them. And so I know Wednesday night, it was a really fun night. But I got kind of sick in small groups, and I almost, like, passed out. And so I had a really bad headache, and it started before the night service. And I went to small group, and I still wasn't feeling okay. I still wasn't feeling very good, and so I just sat there, and then everything got really dizzy. I told Emily, I was like, everything's spinning. And so then they're like, okay, why don't you lay down and put your knees up? So I did that, and so then Simone came over, and she has, like, this fan, and she's like, what can I do to help? And I was like, I don't know. Can we just find something? And so then they just called the nurse, and so, but that night I figured out that I could trust everyone in my group, because I did everything they could to try and help me feel better, so.
Okay, she talked about small group, and my favorite part was small group. But then again, Thursday night, I don't know what happened, but everyone was crying. Like, during night service, Steve, he prayed, and he was asking people to accept Christ, and if you haven't already, if you haven't, you were just redoing it, then don't stand up. But we met someone named Tyler. He's from Maryland, and he was so sweet, and he stood up, and that kind of touched me, so that kind of made me cry. And then he was praying, and he's like the person that was, Steve, started crying, and then they sung a song, and I was kind of tearing up, and then I went over and hugged Megan, and I started like bawling. Yeah, and then Friday foot washing, so I washed her feet, I picked her, and I washed her feet, and then she washed mine, and then for some reason I couldn't work up the nerve to tell her why I picked her, but I was supposed to, like, that's what you told us to, but I didn't, I kind of broke the rules, but I pulled her aside, and I was like, after she was done, we were both done, we were standing, and I was standing with Emily, I don't know where she is, not me, okay, back there, okay, I was standing with Emily and Ariane, and I don't know if she's here either, she said she was, but she's not, okay, anyways, we were all standing in a group, and I was like, hey, Megan, come with me, and I, like, pulled her aside, and we stood by some tree, and I told her why, and we both started bawling. Yeah, I got like two words out, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna cry. So I cried, yeah. But it was.
Good job. Yeah, hey, just to give you guys a little context, with NTS Camp, they do this tradition every Friday night before we go back home. Literally, it's the last session, the last time we meet. And we, as a youth group, we get to spend a few minutes together, and we take communion together, which is when we remember Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And then we also, it's really cool, they have all of these stations set up around this big field of foot washing stations. So imagine just tons of tubs of water with rags in there, right, and chairs. And so the whole point is, if God is laying someone on your heart, someone you've met this week, someone that you maybe you've known, you know, in your small group, or a good friend of yours that, and just how Jesus, right, just how Jesus washed the feet of the disciples to kind of set the example or show his servant attitude, if you will. What I challenged our students to do is, if you pick somebody, because it's not about how many people's feet you can wash, right? But if you pick somebody, tell them why. Tell them why you chose to wash their feet. And so that's kind of, I wanted to make sure you guys understood the point of that it's a tradition in the camp. And so Emily picked Megan, and Megan picked Emily, and they washed each other's feet. It was really cool. It was really cool. So Bailey, come on up. Give it up for Bailey.
Hello, my name is Bailey, and I went to NTS camp last year and this year, and in my small group on Thursday, everybody was kind of out of it completely, and there probably wasn't a dry face in the room, but last year when I went, we did this thing at the very end of Thursday, and we all wrote something that we wanted to give to God that was weighing on us that we really wanted to get rid of, and we all crumbled it up and we threw it in this basket and we gave it to Christ. And I felt like all the girls were talking about how they were crying because they had stuff bearing on them, and I felt like that was a really cool thing that I could do. And so I ripped up a bunch of paper, and everybody was just staring at me like, what are you doing? And I was just like, just go with it, keep going with, keep answering the questions, just keep going with the group. And at the very end, I passed out all the paper, and I passed out some pens and some Sharpies and stuff, and I said, everybody seems like they have something that they want to get rid of. And they were like, okay. I said, everybody, if you feel like there's something that you don't really want to share with the group, but you want to get rid of it, you can share. You don't have to share. And at the very end, when everybody is done, we're going to pray out, we're going to pray for this paper, and we're all going to crumble up what we wrote on this paper, and we're going to throw it in the trash can. And they were confused at first, but then at the end, they all, like, gave me this huge hug, and we were all still crying. But, you know, it just made the night feel even more special and even more sad than it already was. And they weren't tears of, like, unhappiness and sadness, but they were tears of joy that people around us got to know Christ the way that we all do, and that we all wanted them to know how we felt and how our lives are with Jesus in them. And at the very end, when we were all hugging, we were all crying, we wanted to pray again because we felt that, like, that was... So a few of the girls went to the side and we prayed again because we wanted to pray for the stuff that we got away, even though the whole group did it again. And we all felt that that was just a big thing for us, that we got to get rid of what we thought that was still bearing on us that we needed to get rid of. And so I thought that that was a great thing for me to be able to do, is to share something with my group for all the girls that didn't get to go last year or forgot about it last year.
Thanks, Bailey. That's cool. Anybody else like to share something about NTS camp before we move to it? Come on up. Come on up. This is Sammy. Give it up for Sammy.
So NTS camp was amazing. And mine's going to be the least serious of all the ones that have been shared. But I met so many people, and I learned so much about so many people, and that's saying something, because usually when I meet a person, I just learn their name. But, like, while I was there, I witnessed Simone's thing against people sometimes, firsthand. I hung out with a bunch of people who were going to ninth grade, ate, like, a lot of pizza, which I regret. And I think I said the word honk and the word ich more than I've ever said in my entire life. I even started calling a kid ich. Oh my gosh, yes. There was this guy named Aaron, we called him Fabuloso. He was cool. And the leaders, while they were doing the games, one time the blue team was over getting water, and they were like, blue team, where are you going? We're going to deduct points. I mean, I know you're thirsty because you're from Maryland, but, and we were all like, oh, it was amazing. Yeah.
Good job, Sammy. Come on up. It's not awkward.
Going off of names, Megan, who was up here with me, okay, this is really weird. We thought it was weird. My middle name is Kate, and on my journal that I wrote stuff in, I, like, wrote my full name. And she was like, hey, no way, my middle name's Kate. And I was like, that's cool. And she was like, wait, I was supposed to be named Emily. And she was like, I would have been Emily Kate Hollander, and you would have been Emily Kate Matzik. So whoa. She's, like, my long-lost twin.
That's cool. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Would anybody else like to share anything? Oh, come on up, baby.
Okay. This time I'm going to be talking about team comps. On the last day, we all, like, or like the week, we had to come up with a team cheer, and Central was the red team, so like we had to come up with a team cheer for the red team. And so, honestly, I didn't like our cheer. I thought it was kind of bad, but we got second place for our cheer. So I think... So, yeah. And then, no, it just felt too last minute put together. But anyway, it was funny because I think it was the blue team, they said something about, like, I don't know, it was the gold team. They said that they were, like, on Friday, they kind of made it public that they were teaming up with the gold team. So then red team and green team were like, hey, you know, should team up a little bit. And so we teamed up with the green team, and then we started, we're like, yeah, we're Christmas colors. And then we were all chanting Christmas, and we were, and I think at one point we were all, like, singing Christmas carols and stuff. And so, yeah, it was really fun.
Good job. Cool. All right. This is Abby. And her friends.
Okay, so the theme was obsession, and they were talking about Jacob and Esau, of how Jacob was stealing Esau's blessing, and how with obsession you chase like empty blessings that aren't for you, and it ends up like cursing you and not what you want. It ends up bad, and it's like you miss out on all that God wants for you because you're chasing what God doesn't want because you're obsessed with something that's not healthy. And I just really learned that. I just got really connected with my small group because they were just there for me and everything. And yeah, I don't think there was a dry face. It was amazing.
Awesome. Thanks, Abby. One more. Two more. Two more.
Come on, Sam. Come on. Okay, so my name's Ellie, and not a whole lot of people have talked about the worship that went on. And I'm not going to talk a whole lot about it because I never talk about worship. I feel like it spoils the moment, you know? So it was, I think it was Wednesday night. The worship was just so powerful. And it might have been the first time they played the song Oceans. That song just always brings me to tears. And I've sung all my life, and I've always kind of tried to sound like my mom's singing voice because she has an amazing singing voice. And so basically every time I've been worshiping, I've been trying to sound like her. And so that night I was worshiping so hard I wasn't even thinking of how I sounded. And then it hit me, I sound exactly like my mom right now, and it just, the floodgates opened.
My name is Sam, again. And I think that God really talked to me about the annihilation of ego, because I think ego really almost affects most middle schoolers today. It's always about having the best clothes and hanging out with the best people and having the best ego. And I think that's not really what you want to go after. You don't want to have a good ego. You want to have a good relationship with God, because ego is not going to get you into heaven, but God will. And I think that's really what's most important. As a rising ninth grader, as leaving middle school, I realized that my ego will hurt me more than it will help me. And I think that's really important for anyone who's coming up, because God will be more important than your ego, no matter how old you are or where you are in life.
Preach it. Preach it. It's really good. It's really good. Well, thank you guys for sharing. I want to kind of change gears for a second. We also had a second event that a lot of you may not know about, but we had a mission trip this summer in June, and it was a really, really cool experience for the team of us that went. We went to a place in downtown Atlanta called the City of Refuge. And the City of Refuge, what they do, we've got some pictures that are going to come on the screen. And so what the City of Refuge is it's a place that literally they host anywhere between 200 and 250 women and children every single night. And they have a number of different ministries that are all around the this organization. But one of the things that we got to go do is we got to go and hang out with the children and their moms. And one of the coolest parts about this trip is that a lot of times mission trips are all about, come and do this for us, come and work the soup kitchen, come and do this for so-and-so, right? But this trip and their philosophy is very different. Their philosophy is, be with the people. Just be with us. And so we literally got to go, as you saw, we got to learn so many different children's names and hang out with all these awesome kids. And some of our older students, Maddie, some of the other eighth graders, got to know the women really well, got to hear their stories and hear some of the things that they went through and they've been through. And so it's just a really awesome trip. So I thought if anybody that went on that experience would like to come up and share what they learned, something that God pointed out to them, I'd love for them to do that. Come on up. This is Maddie.
Hi, I'm Maddie. I'm a rising ninth grader. I'll go to Mountain View. And the mission trip is a phenomenal opportunity, and you should take advantage of it, like, whenever you can. It's really great. Like, we were only there for a weekend, but we all have, like, inside jokes. Like, my name's Mandy, and And then there's Samantha. Yeah, Sam, Samantha. And, you know, we got to know each other really well. And as you saw, Moses unpacked in his drawers. And we all made fun of him in a good way because he was clean, but everybody pointed it out. And then we had worship. And worship really meant a lot to me because some nights we did... Oh, okay. I thought you were laughing at me. I was like, I'm not that bad. We had worship. And we majority of the time, we did a circle with everyone, and we prayed. And we would pray, and I really learned how to be strong when it came to praying. So I led prayer a lot, and that really helped me grow. But one night, we were out with the group of people, all the people from around the area, and we went to church with them. And I remember the last night, Morgan and I, we were there, and Morgan had hugged me, and I was hugging Morgan, and we were just worshiping together, and then we just bawled. We were crying, but Morgan and I have been such great friends, and it was only a weekend, and I think everybody should always go, because our group was small, but it was still great.
Cool. Thanks, Maddie. Sure, come on up, girls. Come on up. This is Cameron and Carly.
Okay. Hi. Okay, on the mission trip, I learned a lot of things. Like Pastor Steven said, I thought it was like do for and everything and to help those people, but really they turned out being the ones that helped me. And the people there, it was so amazing to see all the joy that they had and the God that was in their hearts, too. And I think the biggest thing I learned is that that we're all broken and because we all just need God.
That's good. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I met a girl named Asia, and she was really sweet, and she impacted my life a lot. And I also met another older lady, and she was really, she taught us a word, I don't really remember, but it was like the word of God, and the mission trip impacted my life a lot.
Thank you, girls. It's cool. Anybody else? Cool, what's up, dude? Yeah.
Okay. My name is Devin, and I went to the mission trip at Atlanta, and something that really spoke out to me was, at the beginning, I really was really, like, I was kind of embarrassed to speak in front, pray and do all that stuff, and God just spoke to me and told me to be more bold in my faith, and I met this girl named Imani, and she told me her story, and we kind of connected, and, she seemed like she had nobody to hang out with, so I hung out with her, and it just really spoke to me of how, like, you don't have to, you can be with the people, not just do things for them. And so, yeah.
Great job, man. Cool. Well, I want to, Esley, can we put that picture up of me and the older lady? Could we do that? I want to show you a picture of someone that I got to meet, and this is all going to come together really quick, and then we're going to do something. This is Linda, and Linda is, I like to refer to her as a saint. I mean, she was an amazing, amazing lady, and I got to sit down with Linda at this mission trip for probably close to an hour and a half one night, and it didn't seem like it was that long of a time because the things that she was telling me and the things that she was sharing with me about her life and some of the struggles and the difficulty that she had been through in her life, man, it was just powerful. And one of the things that she told me that night, because her story is very, very different than mine, and while we both had things in common in the sense of life's not super easy all the time, and we all go through challenges and difficult seasons and times. Her life was a lot more intense, and she had been through a lot more than me, right? But there's something that she told me that night that it will impact the rest of my life. She told me a lot of things, but this is what I wanted to share with you guys. And I really, while I'm sharing this with all of you, I'm particularly sharing this with our eighth grade. Because obviously, this is your last time that you will be at M12. And I was thinking to myself, man, if there was one thought that I could give you, if there was one sum of words that I could share with you, it would simply be something that is in the scripture that is so powerful. And I want to read you a passage, and then I'll get back to what Linda told me. But in Hebrews 12, obviously the writer of Hebrews has just finished talking about this hall of faith, if you will, and he mentions so many different names of people who had gone before him, people like Abraham and Moses and all of these men and people. And then he says this, he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What I love about that passage, I love a lot about that passage, but as Linda was sharing her story with me, I know you guys aren't going to get this, but just for the sake of sharing a story, it was as if she knew everything that I had been through. And she looked at me, and she just said this. She said, as long as you fix your eyes on Jesus, everything will work itself out. And I just thought, man, because this is not coming from a lady who hasn't been through rough times. You know what I'm saying? And she's telling me this now, literally being homeless. I mean, she's homeless, living at the City of Refuge, right? But she tells me, she says, as long as you fix your eyes on Jesus, everything else will work itself out. Now, she didn't say, if you fix your eyes on Jesus, then your life is going to be perfect. She didn't say, if you fix your eyes on Jesus, you're not going to be faced with peer pressure and temptation. She didn't say, if you fix your eyes on Jesus, that life is just going to be so simple. She didn't say any of that. What she said was, if you just fix your eyes on Jesus, everything will work itself out. And for all of you, that is what I want you to hear. Obviously, in the scripture, it says, let us run with perseverance the race that's marked for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And so, for you eighth grade students, man, my encouragement to you, my challenge to you, my hope for you, my prayer for you is that you would go on to high school continuing to fix your eyes on Jesus, continuing to keep your faith as the most important part of who you are, and not allowing other people to tell you anything differently, but instead for you to literally fix your eyes on him and allow him to be your obsession. Allow him to continue to guide you and lead you. I mean, just hearing you guys talk tonight, my goodness, I can't wait to see what God does through you in your high schools. I mean, it's going to be powerful. And for those of you who are going to be in middle school as rising 7th and 8th grade, my challenge to you guys is the same exact message, to just continue fixing your eyes on Jesus and continue, especially as you start school back next week. It's kind of depressing. As you start school back next week, right, go into your schools with that goal, with the goal of just fixing your eyes on Christ, being a great example and a light in what is some of, you know, a lot of your schools are dark, and some of the people that you go to school with, they're not Christians. And so that God would use you this year, that God would just use you to impact your school in a powerful, powerful way. So this is what I want to do. I want to wrap things up tonight. And I want to, if you are in the eighth grade, I want you to come forward and I want you to stand right here in the front. And this is something that we do every year. Those of you who are going into ninth grade, come on up. Come on up. Give it up one last time for our awesome rising ninth graders. Yeah. All right. All right. That's so cool. Come on up, guys. Come on up. And so this is what I want to do, guys. First off, don't be a stranger, man. You know, just because you're not in M12 anymore doesn't mean we can't hang out and you can't say hey to me and stuff like that and give me high fives and fist bumps. All right, so don't be a stranger. But this is what I want to do. I wanted to pray a prayer of blessing over all of these amazing and awesome students. So if you guys will extend your arms, we've done this before, extend your arms, right? And this is symbolically, this is your way of symbolically saying, man, I am praying over these students as they go into a new chapter of their life. All right, and so let's do that. So, Father God, I do. As I look at these students, God, I want to pray for each and every single one of them tonight. And I just want to pray, God, that you would allow them to continue to fix their eyes on Jesus. That no matter what temptations come, no matter what peer pressure results, no matter how all of that looks, that you would literally, God, just help them to continue to fix their eyes on you. And as they go into high school, as they go to the next chapter, that God, you would continue to raise them up to be leaders at age 12, that you would empower them with boldness and courage to be who you've called them to be. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, if you guys will have a seat.
I just wanted to say something really quick. I know this is our last M12, and I know you guys may be sad and possibly depressed about it, but I said this at camp once, and we really only have now. We're never really promised a future. We're only promised the hope of the future. We could all die of a gigantic random meteor in 5 minutes, and we will still have right now. Am I right, guys? So we got to be thankful for right now, and even though this is our last, or the eighth grader's last M12, I'm really thankful for now, and I'm thankful for everybody in here.